and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Fingered and Rocket League.
Yeah. And Nick, tell me about Fingered.
I sure will. So Fingered is the new Edmund McMillen joint. He teamed up with a developer named James Id, and they released this game independently on Steam. And it just came out on August 18th, and it is a interesting little toy.
it's a mini game.
Yeah.
It's what's weird is, like, it came out of nowhere, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like you and I don't follow Edmund McMillen.
Right.
And he has, for people, you know, people may or may not know, he has a long in development game called Mugenics.
Right.
And, you know, so I knew he was working on that. I knew he was working on Afterbirth and had no idea this was even a thing.
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, it seems that Mugenics is currently on pause, and the main project outside of Afterbirth is the mobile version of Super Meat Boy. And it's not a mobile version so much as a Meat Boy themed mobile game called Meat Boy Forever.
I can get behind that. I like Meat Boy.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about Mugenics.
Yeah, but like, still, nonetheless, this came out of nowhere.
Yeah, this totally came out of nowhere. This came, you know, was announced on the Isaac blog.
Yeah.
And stuff. And this is, you know, it is small and priced appropriately.
Yes.
Like, it's $1.87, which is a meaningful number.
Yes.
And it is a take on Guess Who.
Yes.
The board game. It is like a non multiplayer, one player version of Guess Who.
Yeah. And it was said by Edmund to be basically an excuse for him to draw a bunch of silly faces, which is exactly what it is. You are faced with a lineup and an eyewitness, and each stage is a different eyewitness who form kind of the different difficulty levels because of their reliability and their ability to give you clues that actually help you figure out who in the lineup should be killed.
Yeah, who's the person deserving of the death penalty.
Yeah.
And there's that, so the mechanically what it is the witness says, like, he definitely didn't look rich. He definitely wasn't short. I don't think that he had light colored skin.
Right.
And then you go through and you kind of figure out what you're sure about. And if you take all the clues, if it works correctly, there's just one person who will fit the bill.
Yes.
And then you sentence that person to death. You finger them for the crime. There is a lot of Edmund McMillen's signature kind of lowbrow humor in the idea of, like, rampantly fingering people. Yeah. Like, you know, like it's fingering them for murder, but the double entendre is that you're sticking your finger in their dick hole and giving them a solid sounding from stem to stern, you know. So that's the joke.
Yes,
you know. And but it has that Edmund McMillen, like, the way that Isaac on first glance looks like a total joke. There's a little bit of an idea to this, which is that there are people who are making these decisions,
right? And they're not reliable.
Yeah, and there are people who are providing eyewitness testimony, and people die based on this.
Yes.
You know, so, like, there's this whole, you know, you fingered somebody who's a murderer, and then when you mess up, and, you know, inevitably, you know, you are called a murderer because that's what it is.
Right.
You know, so it is that it's similar, like, in that way thematically to Spec Ops in a weird way, in that it is about the danger of making decisions with incomplete information when those decisions have ramifications that are life and death.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's, like, very cool. Like, I like that he can put these real weighty themes in a real kind of dumb.
Yeah. Dumb, game. Silly game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a cool bit of social commentary if you think deeply on it. But on the surface, the game is pretty simple. Like, we described every step of the way. Like, that is the entire game. The only difference is that the eyewitnesses will be more and more, as you go on, kind of unreliable or have their own biases. I think the, like, fifth level guy is, like, his name is Racist Jim or something like that.
Yeah, he's literally just, like, you can't trust him when it comes to matters of race.
Exactly.
And they get, you know, more and more difficult. I haven't climbed the ladder. Like, I haven't done everybody.
Yeah, I might have gotten to 7 or 8. Like, I definitely haven't gone very far.
It is an interesting game, and one of the, I don't think that I actually like it. I think that it's really interesting, but the so like with Isaac, I've spent a lot of time like trying to get people into that game and thinking about it. And I think Isaac is a game where Edmund McMillan's art style like serves the theming a lot, because that game, when you get past the surface, is like the darkest thing.
Right.
Like that is a game where you get a power up that is a whittling paddle, because that makes you hit kids, they move faster because they run away from you.
Yeah.
And you find their dead pets, which make them cry more. You know, like, it is a really, really dark game, so it has to be adorable, right? And like, Edmund's kind of gross and cute drawing style really works for that. For this, I don't think it works, because some of the adjectives we get are like strange, you know, and the art is not detailed in a way like, or like a weirdo. Right. So like, if he's like, he's definitely was a weirdo, like they all look like weirdos.
Yeah. He definitely looked gross.
They all look gross. Like that's your art style.
Yeah.
You know,
But I do think, you know, there is, those adjectives obviously all relate to some object on, you know, some piece that was jammed onto the figure to make the person. It's just like trying to diffuse which adjectives line up with which like objects that get attached to characters. It kind of goes against the grain of what you want from this game. Like, you want to be like, okay, gross. Obviously someone's going to be much more like clean shaven and look much neater, and someone's going to not be that. And those are going to be your differences, but they both look gross. One of them just has an egg cracked on his head. That's what gross is.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense.
It kind of, it makes it take longer to kind of get in and figure out the internal logic of it. Like, it's counterintuitive to no real end, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's still like, I say, I don't really like it. Like, it's a cool game. It's really a cool idea, and it's a mechanic that you don't see a lot, right? Like this kind of, like a Guess Who, like you don't see that aped. Like when you look at the grand list of indie games that are this, but that, it's very rare that one of those this is or one of those that's is Guess Who.
Right.
And that's kind of cool. Like, I dig that. And it's also all the procedurally generated like headlines. And there's a part where you can put in names and it creates a mugshot.
Yeah.
Of like a gross little mutant, and it's all the like, crimes are all procedurally generated. Like, that stuff's neat. I dig that, but it is, there's just so little, there's like no depth.
Yeah. There's no attention holding to it, which comes in stark contrast to Isaac, which is on the surface also a very simple game that happens to hold your attention for literally hundreds, if not thousands, of hours.
Yeah, like Isaac contains multitudes, you know.
Yeah,
and that's the idea behind
that's
it.
The, right? Yeah, and that's the rub of this, basically. If you know, if this, which you know, luckily this is sold for $1.87, and it's sold as the minigame it is.
It's exactly.
Kind of Isaac also came out of left field, also was budgeted really cheaply, and was crazy, like just the best game. So
exactly. Yeah. No, nobody is trying to portray this as having depth.
Yeah.
Which is, which is obviously good. It's an honest game.
Yes.
And I'll always, at least, like, I don't love everything that Edmund's done. Like, I, played the games in the basement collection and stuff, and they're not always my favorite, but they're always interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to check them out. And I'm happy to give him a couple bucks.
They're always worth. Here's the thing is that he came from Newgrounds. He came from the Flash game community. And most of his games end up feeling like that, where they're something to sit down and play for, you know, 10, 15 minutes at a time and maybe come back to, maybe not.
Yep.
So this is definitely one of those, you know, maybe nots.
Yeah. Let's talk about a game with a little bit more depth.
Oh, man.
oh, boy. So, the next game we're covering is Rocket League.
Yes. Rocket League is a game from a company called Psyonix. Previous to this, they put out a game called Supersonic Aerobatic Rocket Powered Battle Cars, to which this is the spiritual successor. And it is a... Well, first of all, it came out on July 7, 2015 on PS4 and Windows. And for PS4 PS Plus subscribers, it was free. So it kind of got an instant kind of player base right off the bat.
It's so smart.
Yes.
Of them to do that. Because it was like, you could see the argument against it, right? Like, you could see the idea... we don't want to cut all those sales.
Right.
But it gave them so much. It was like infinite advertising.
Oh, infinite advertising. And it, like, you know, for a multiplayer game, the player base is everything. So the fact that this had an instant start of a huge player base was fantastic. And apparently since then it sold 1 million copies on Steam, It's definitely making money. But what the game is, let me get into that, because that is the important part. It is soccer with cars.
And with rocket cars.
With rocket cars. The entire game.
That's literally, that is all it is.
Yes.
Like, that is the best and only description of this game.
Exactly. So it is 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, or 4v4 cars on each team with a gigantic ball in the middle and an enclosed arena. And you guys try and hit the ball into each other's goals. The kind of one twist to that you wouldn't expect, you know, there's boost pads, which I guess you probably would, you know, that could, you could take it or leave it, but you can also boost yourself through the air and kind of soar up to the ball to hit it. And those simple mechanics lend themselves to an incredible game, in my opinion. Like, I love this game to death.
It's really, because you can adjust your pitch. So, like, you can just kind of boost, but if you're pointed upwards, you'll point upwards, and you can jump. Like, it's a car that can jump. So that's the thing. And it is like, I haven't played it as much as you have. And it is not as well suited for me as it is for you.
Yes.
But it is like, it's not even like Infinifactory, where like we played that and I was like, this is not for me, but I see it's really good. Like, that was true of that game as well. This is not really for me, but it also seems really special.
Yes.
Like, it is, and every one of my friends is all over it. Like, it's hugely popular, and I can totally see it. Like, it is, it has the two, like, these are the two things Gary doesn't like in games: competitive and never ending.
Yep.
And it is both those things to a T. So it's like, it has a hard, you know, hill to climb.
Yes.
To get me to keep playing it. But it's like, I got home from class today before we recorded, and I had forgotten that we were recording when I first got home from class, and was like, oh, I'm going to like play some more Rocket League. Like, I want to check that out more and get better at it, because I also have this feeling that like we're in this time right now where there are still people who are bad at the game. So you have to get in now if you're listening to this, because eventually it's going to, the skill ceiling on this game is huge. Like,
yeah,
it's like massive. All, you know, purely skill based games, like, the ceiling is just so big, and we're going to end up, this is going to become like a Counter-Strike thing.
It is. And not only that, it's already in like major tournaments and stuff alongside Counter-Strike, like 2 months after release. It's ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. It's huge. Like, there's a hate mail blog that started up.
Yeah, from the Dark Souls haters guy, right?
Well, he didn't do it, but he just promoted it. Someone else did.
That's awesome.
And there's all kinds of like top 10 plays. Like, I watched, if you're skeptical about, this is the game I'd hand people who are skeptical about esports, right?
Yes.
Because like, Dota is an incomprehensible mess. Like, true. If you're trying to watch League of Legends and understand it, it makes no fucking sense. Right. And I've tried. Like, I like the idea of competitive sports. Like, I used to watch, Left 4 Dead, like, shoutcast is what they call them on Justin TV all the time. Like, I like that. But League of Legends makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
This is the actual heir, I feel like, to the esports, like, crown.
It's true. So I saw an article about this, actually. Someone was talking about Street Fighter and Super Smash Bros. Melee and how their ceiling as, like, spectator esports is much lower than other games like Dota and CS and stuff like that, where it's just like, if you haven't played the game, you don't have any fucking clue what's going on, and it's not interesting to you. But Street Fighter, like, you can appreciate these guys hitting each other.
Yeah, two dudes punching one another makes sense.
And that works for Melee too. Rocket League, it's even better than that. Like, it's so instant. You know exactly what's going on, and you know what's impressive and what isn't. It's great. It's so fun to watch.
It's because there's because it is such a limited moveset, and because it is based in two things that everyone understands completely, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows what soccer is, everyone knows what racing is, so it's just instantly understandable. Like, you can glance at a frame of this game and know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
And that's like, that's something that happens in like great games, you know, like that is really special when it happens. Like, it is the most you know, made for watching that I could see.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
For a game like this feels like sports and will become sports in our lifetime.
Yeah, I hope so. It's really good. I've been playing this game to death, basically since you said we should play it for the show. You got it for free on PSN. I purchased it and a friend had it on PSN, and we were trying to match with each other. I don't think there's any sort of cross-platform like friend get grouping together to play, but you can match make cross platforms randomly. So we were kind of just trying to get it, and he was like, I give up, I'm buying it on Steam. Since then, I have, I think, like upwards of 10 people I know in real life or have known forever online that have purchased this game and are just playing it nonstop.
What's your hour count?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Let me find out. I have, so far, 33 hours on record.
So it's, keep in mind, like, it came out mid-July, so it came out a little over a month ago.
And I purchased it maybe a week and a half ago.
Yeah, like, we haven't planned this episode for that long.
I put in a work shift on it.
Yeah, you put in a week of work.
A work week.
on Rocket League. I haven't put in nearly that much. I just have not had a chance. And as for those reasons I mentioned before, like, this is the kind of game I can't see myself playing nearly as much. But, like, if it becomes an esports thing, like, you could do an AGDQ-style barbecue for the tournaments that inevitably pop up. And I'll go over to your house and watch them and love it.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, impressive plays are really impressive, even if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I watched a lot of top 10 YouTube videos, which have all sprung up and have hundreds of thousands of hits, of, like, plays of this game. Because I was trying to figure out, like, I was trying to get better at it, you know? I did all the tutorials and played a single campaign, and then I did online matches. I probably did about 10 of them.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at it. Like, I haven't had that breakthrough yet, you know? And I'm playing with people, and that's why I feel like it's on the cusp of a Counter-Strike thing, because I'm playing with people who are so much better than I am,
right? And, you know, it, like every game of this sort, like, playing with friends on your side is always going to far surpass, like, trying to solo match and, like, just join up with random people, because, like, they don't give a shit about you and they're not trying to, like, make cool, like, when it's friends, you guys are sharing in like a goal, like one person gold, and you're like, hell yeah, like, I helped you with that, and, you know, the whole group succeeds from that. But although your team scores when you're just solo queuing, everyone's trying to be the top dog, and everyone's trying to they're playing for themselves and not for the team. And that's how it works with every competitive game, and this is no different. Like, it's just way more fun to play with friends who are there for the team and not there for
exactly
themselves.
Yeah, and that's the thing that the high level play, and you see that in every multiplayer game, like when I would play Left 4 Dead with people online, you saw that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, good teams, you know, will make a sacrifice for the good of the all. And the game kind of, like, even if you're just playing for yourself and playing shittily, like, it still kind of works.
Yeah.
And part of that is, like, the relatively small, I was surprised when I booted up how small the arena was. Like, I felt like it should be bigger initially, but it's actually kind of perfectly sized because you're never far from the ball.
Right.
Like, it can be on the absolute opposite end of the pitch and you're not far from it. So, like, you can get into the action really quick.
Yeah, like, you
really, no matter what.
Exactly, yeah. Like, the field is kind of perfectly placed in a way that you can get to the other side, like, with full boost or what have you, in split seconds. And it's great that, you know, it's not instantaneous, so it's not like it's impossible to score a goal against anyone, because no matter where they're at on the field, they can defend against the goal. But it's just big enough that they can make those last second hits right as it's about to get in the hole and save the whole game from, you know, ending or what have you. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Like, I love... kind of, it seems like everything about this game is really well thought out mechanically, and I think the fact that they had a precursor to this helped solidify all the mechanics of it, and that's really what makes this game with such a basic concept work so well and have gathered such a big audience, is that they just perfected every inch of it.
It feels really good.
It's super sheen.
Yeah, and it's the way that it feels is suited to the game really well. So, like, you know, you're racing cars, and the genre that you consider cars to be in are open world games or racing games,
right?
And open world games tend to have this kind of nod towards verisimilitude, so cars will not control perfectly, and racing games don't want your cars to control perfectly, because that's kind of the challenge, is, like, you know, that's how you hug corners and stay in, is letting off the throttle and stuff. The quick turn, like the power slide in this game, is the most severe I've ever played.
Yeah.
With, like, you can turn around to a 180 really easily.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't play like a racing game, even though you're controlling a racing game avatar. And that's really cool. Like, it is just tweaked to feel perfectly. Like, it would have been very easy to literally, like, plop down. Like, it feels like this game could have been made in Unity. Like, or, like, more specifically, like, with a little bit of time, I could have made this game, like, a version of this in Unity.
Right.
You know, it's so simple, but there are so many really, really smart little considerations,
mm-hmm.
About that are just numbers, that are just, you know, sensitivities to the control and, you know,
camera angle.
Yeah, the camera is really good, whereas, like, you'd think that it would be kind of shitty. But again, I think that's a function of the size of the arena. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very easy to get a wide view of the whole play area.
Yeah. They just seem to have thought of everything when designing this really simple idea and perfected it, I think.
Yeah, it is really pretty special, and I'm really looking forward to seeing like this becoming an esport thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely getting there, and yeah, we'll probably have a Rocket League barbecue at some point.
Do you know what the there's a DLC that already came out for it?
Yes.
Do you know what that what's contained in that?
The DLC is mostly just cosmetic items. Okay. Yeah, so it's just cosmetic items, stuff kind of exclusive to the DLC. A couple of new car bodies, and you get so a lot of this game is about customizing your car so that you kind of stand out amongst your team. And you can choose car bodies and little flags that hang off the back and a little hat that goes on top and paint jobs of different sorts. All of which, you know, is just stuff you unlock from playing, except for so far the stuff in the DLC. And I actually think this game would have been perfectly suited for the Steam marketplace, like kind of selling all those cosmetic items, just like Team Fortress and CS and Dota have done. But I think the fact that they are cross-platform with PS4 means that'll never happen. So
yeah. Yeah. Which is a little bit of a bummer.
They could have made themselves quite a few dollars, I'm sure, and Steam would have also banked the hell off of that. But
yeah,
but yeah. Well, maybe Sony got
they could update that in Steam, even though it's cross-platform. Like that could be a Steam exclusive feature because there's on cross-platform games, that's a thing.
Yeah,
like, there are Steam Workshop things for Fallout 3 that aren't on consoles.
Yeah, I'm sure there at some point there will be the rift. But right now, I think the player base is pretty well split. So if Steam starts outselling PS4 to a large degree, then that might happen. But I think
it will take negotiations.
Like, yeah, I think Sony basically for the PS4, they kind of got a bunch of indie developers to kind of sign on to PS4. Like let's all go to the Rapture from the Chinese Room and stuff like that. And I think this was one of those where it was kind of like, here, we'll help you get this developed, but you know, you're going to put it out on here, you're going to kind of fit to these rules, and I'm sure it was a big help in getting the game developed, but that means it's kind of locked down into some stuff probably temporarily. So we'll see how it goes.
There's no such thing as like actual exclusivity,
right?
That doesn't really happen anymore.
Yep.
No, I'm not mourning that, like I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's really really impressive.
I'm a big fan of it. It's coming out on OS X and Linux as well sometime soon. The player base, as I said, is just kind of blowing up right now, and it's one of the most watched stuff on Twitch and YouTube, and it's kind of everywhere. And the fact that we managed to be kind of this relevant and put out an episode
about it.
Yeah,
I'm surprised we caught it.
Yeah, so you guys should go out and grab this and check it out, because it's a really, really solid game, especially if you like something with a little bit of a competitive edge to it, because that is the perfect there's never been an indie game that's been this good, such a good fit for the competitive gaming scene. So
yeah, like there have been competitive games but they focus on different things, because like we did Duck Game and that's a competitive game,
right?
But like Duck Game
pro gaming, like
yeah, there won't be like Duck Game esports.
Exactly.
Like it's very fun, like I loved that game,
right?
But it's not it just doesn't have a high enough skill ceiling
exactly
to it, and this does, you know. So yeah, really impressive and really, really cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Congrats, Ionix. You guys did something crazy.
Yeah, they did a great job. Like, those guys got to be over the moon right now.
I'm sure. All right, guys. I think that's about it for the episode. So Gary, what sort of, where can they reach us?
If you go to duckfeed.tv/contact, you can suggest games. You can also find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/checkoutcomrade.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find us on Twitter at Comrade Podcast to suggest games. We do these like two every 2 weeks, and sometimes we have to skip weeks, so don't be offended if we don't get to your game. We also have some stuff planned. So people who like our longer episodes, we got another doubler coming up, because obviously we have to do a Shadowrun.
Yes.
I'm 4 hours into that now.
Yeah, I haven't touched it yet, but we have a month before that episode comes out, so I will have beaten it for sure.
Yeah, I dig that. And then we'll have to consider doing the Pillars. Well, you haven't
Pillars recap.
So we can't do the Pillars DLC.
I need to get back to that too. So that will probably happen after I get to Shadowrun. I'll go back to Pillars now that the patch is out. So
yeah, it is the enough of these competitive games.
Yeah.
for fun for man boys. Let's get back to the to my Fit reading games.
That's the problem is the, like you said, these go on forever. So
yeah, I just can't do it. Like I like the idea of it, but like it's just, man, on the Slack channel, which is something you can get access to if you join us on Patreon, patreon.com/chuckpv. The Slack channel, people were talking about getting me into the not Hearthstone, HOTS.
The Warcraft one, right?
Harbingers of the Storm or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, people are screaming. But whatever that thing is, people are trying to get me into that and then trying to get me into Hearthstone. And, man, I just like, I'm sure I would like it.
Yeah.
Don't want to do a never ending game right now. Like, it is just, that is too stressful.
It is. Yeah. It is really hard and unfortunately the most addictive thing ever if you actually start it. So, it's probably a good idea that you manage to avoid most of those.
Yeah, it's like how like addicts will avoid certain things, right? I stay away from, you know, oh, I'm not gonna drink this kava because like what, maybe I'll get real into it.
Yeah, that's the same. Like MMOs are the one thing I managed to force myself to avoid because I know what those have done to me.
Yeah, and I just feel gross after it.
Yeah,
like no offense, but like people who are into MMOs, but I just feel nasty afterwards. Like it just feels like, oh well, that wasn't a good use of time. So that feels bad. So I'm avoiding that, but like, man, that is a thing. Also real quick, this is the first episode. I think that most people listen to the show probably also listen to other shows, but if you're feeling generous, you should support my book on Kickstarter.
Yes, you should.
If you go to, the quick link is if you go to duckfeed.tv/souls-of-darkness. I am writing a Worlds of Power parody book, written as if Dark Souls was a Nintendo game. And, there's all kinds of cool little marketing thing. So like we're really close to our goal and I'm going to start announcing stretch goals that are going to make everybody flip their lid. So I haven't said this on any other show, but like I'm talking to a place that does custom pogs.
Oh, what?
So I'm probably going to make some pogs.
That's awesome.
For the thing as a stretch goal. I'm doing a comic that you would get if you sent away 10 UPCs from Dark Sign cereal.
Oh my God.
Which are little cereals that are shaped like the Dark Sign.
That's awesome.
So it all kinds of cool shit. But I'm very close to the goal. The book itself is only like $17 pledge. Yeah. If you don't want any of the extra cool stuff. So it's reasonably priced.
You can get digital for even cheaper than that.
Yeah, digital is $7.
Yeah. So
like reasonably priced for a PDF and ebook.
Yeah, I'm in for a physical. What reward levels are you putting the pogs on?
The pogs will probably be add as because since it's a stretch goal.
Yeah.
I need to make a certain amount of money to buy them, and then I'll probably include them with a certain level and up.
Uh-huh.
Probably not the book level. At least I'll probably do a sticker level, and then I'll probably do the I'm doing a fake NES manual for game as kind of that's already on there. It's kind of a high level thing, and that's probably where the comic will go.
All right.
So I want to reward people who are already pledged, but I also, you know, the goal for stretch goals is also to make more money. So I want I want people to up their pledges to get cool shit.
I'll probably have to end up upping mine.
Yeah. The I'm gonna do one for a PDF of the manual. As well, because I haven't put one of those in, and a listener actually suggests that it's a good idea.
It is a good idea. I would go for that. So
yeah, so all kinds of cool shit. But you can find it there.
Check out his Kickstarter. It's a really cool idea. The artist is amazing.
Like, yeah, Nick Daniel, who does Latchkey Kingdom, is doing a great job.
Everything I've seen so far just looks stellar. So
it's really good. It's a good, like, it looks like a children's book illustration, and when he has to draw something that directly references something in Dark Souls, like he puts a little twist on it and it's really good. Like I haven't put it up yet, but I've seen a picture of my Havel analog, and he's got elements of it that like recall the Adjudicator from Demon Souls.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mix between the two, and it just looks really cool.
That's awesome.
I'm real into it.
He's a big Souls fan too?
Yeah, he's huge.
That's awesome.
He's huge into it. That's how we met him. He bought some advertising on Bonfireside Chat because he did a mini series.
Oh, cool.
That was kind of Souls inspired. I really recommend that. If you go to latchedkeykingdom.com, you can find his stuff.
Yeah, just check out his comic.
Yeah, it's real good.
Your Kickstarter is the first I've seen of him. So
yeah, he's great. So I think that's about it.
Yep. You know about our Patreon, you know about our Kickstarter, you know where you can find us on social media. We love you guys.
Yeah. And good night.